Some people pay other people to turn a wrench, swap their oil filter. Me, DIY, all day. This isn't convenience. It's confidence. Purelator 20K oil filters. Clean oil, more miles. Over 99% filter to perfection. Only at Walmart.com or select Walmart stores. Purelator. Keep it purring.
The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and Sportsmap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell. No Raheel today. So is Tyler coming back in today? Chris Harrison? Tyler? Tyler's going to come in today. He will add some snarky little comments every once in a while. I don't know. Is anyone going to be snarky about Urban Meyer? It was just announced that Urban Meyer says after the Rose Bowl, he is going to retire. Which, I got to tell you, what a class act. His entire time as a head coach, he has been nothing but stand-up, class, never a controversy. Urban Meyer. The game will miss him.
When it came time to get rid of a coach who had done something bad, he did it.
He did it.
When the time had come.
He did it a little after everybody, it came out with all the
stories. I just want to make sure.
Stories. Then he did it. Then he did it right away.
Yeah. He's just making sure. And then you don't rush to judgment. You got to see how the recruit, gather information.
The recruit, information.
See what the class looks like. Yep. I mean, gather information.
Right. See if we can keep those recruits and still fire the coach.
Yep.
Yep.
That's what you got to try to do.
Yep.
So, and to that end,
yep.
They're going to stay in house with their hiring search. You're like, well, we're planning on keeping our recruiting class again.
Well, Ryan Day. Yep. Ryan Day, their offensive coordinator, is going to take over as head coach. But that it seems like to make that kind of decision. This has been in the works for a little while.
I feel like it probably has. Yeah. And, they probably had a discussion previously about a succession plan because there had to be a thought, we don't know if Urban Meyer is going to be gone for the year, what's going to happen. And let's face it, Ryan Day did have an opportunity to prepare with his team and show what they could do. So he has had a little run-up to this potential. It actually makes sense that his coaches probably have extensions, so they'd have to pay for a brand new staff, a brand new head coach. They're going to keep the continuity, keep the same flow that they had before, keep the same recruits. I don't think it will. I think they're doing this as a path of least resistance for a guy they already know. So
yeah,
and Urban is going to historically he will be known as a highly successful coach. I mean.
But he will have that stink on him.
Well, and not just that, but, if you really are honest about it, you go back to that Florida team, yeah. and if you You know, he took off, but it was one of the most criminal teams in the history of college sports. Probably the most criminal team. And that was the Aaron Hernandez team. Chris Rainey. I mean, there were some card-carrying bad guys on that team. And he oversaw it.
Yeah.
You know, Charlie Strong got out of there and we're like, okay, we got to get five core values. I got to invent something called five core values because I can never be part of this again. This is terrible.
Yeah, well,
what's my core value list?
I mean, and he and you know, the health issues. I have no idea. This year, him with his knees, his hands on his knees. You guys were doing it before the show.
The Maryland game. I thought he was going to fall out.
I know. It almost seemed like Peter Griffin. Where every time they made some kind of a mistake, it looked like he was having a heart attack on the sideline. His hands were on his knees. And just...
Is that Dell or is that Peter
Griffin? That's Peter Griffin.
What is that? I don't even know what that is. No.
When Peter Griffin is sitting on the sidewalk and he's holding his knee.
Oh, yeah. Dell used that for me when I broke my foot or whatever.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. That's Peter Griffin.
That's pretty nice,
Dell. And that was Urban Meyer. Every time somebody made a mistake, it was like Urban Meyer was about to pass out.
Yeah. But, his health was directly related to how his defense was playing that game.
Right.
Like, oh, boy.
Oh.
Oh, boy. Oh, pre-snap penalty on my offense.
Urban, did you hear what Zach Smith tweeted?
Oh.
No, no, no. It's not about you. It's about Tom Herman. Oh, what'd he say? What'd he say?
Yeah.
Oh, this is great. Yes. Yes. And then he said this about you. Oh. Urban, you can't always get health issues whenever bad things are happening.
So I last night changed my mind about two things. One was that the Eagles. Contender. Well, that's set number two. The Eagles, that the Colts are the toughest game on the Texans' remaining schedule.
It's Eagles.
It's the Eagles. Yeah. At the Eagles, especially, and that the Rockets are back. Good Lord! 9 fourth quarter points.
They were so stagnant in the fourth.
What the hell? I mean, I understand they're not a high flying up tempo team. They were one of the slowest teams in the league last year, but at least they could shoot the ball. My God, this team is just. But you pointed out there's a couple guys playing better than last year. Well, their averages are a little better
statistically, but you know that's why that's so. If you look at it statistically, PJ Tucker is better. Clint Capella is better. Eric Gordon is not.
No.
You know, Chris Paul is not.
No.
But James is not, but he's still playing at a high level. He was MVP last year. But it really doesn't matter because what it's about, it's not about the numbers. That's why some of these numbers are lying. It's about consistency of production and avoiding those giant potholes. And yesterday's a classic example of this team can fall into an offensive pothole and frankly, we've seen stretches of defensive potholes, not as much lately, but they fall into those potholes and they can't get up. This is like that old woman that falls down and can't get up commercials from years ago, only, you know, there's no life alert bracelet. It's just, I've fallen and I can't get up. Like, well, I guess you're just going to have a 9-point quarter then, and you're just going to lose.
A 9-point quarter, 29-point half. What the hell? What happened to this basketball team? But they are close to an extent getting working out a nice contract for Gary Clark. So that's the good news there.
Good. That's a future starter for you.
Yeah, I know, but that's you know,
good.
Good.
Young talent. I thought they might be getting another 33-year-old.
Might be a little be getting older. Soon, you know, like 20 games into his career.
Do you know Carmelo's still a Rocket?
Yeah, well, nobody's going to pick him up.
I mean, do you realize that he's still a Rocket?
So you're saying there's a chance?
No, what I'm saying is the jinx is still in your pocket.
Well,
you got to buy him out and get him off the roster. Give him his money and get him off the roster. You're literally hanging on to a jinx.
Oh, was he a jinx when they beat the snot out of San Antonio? Was he a jinx when they beat the snot out of the Bulls? Was he a jinx? No. It was because of Melo, not despite him. Okay?
Was it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks for all your help, Melo. They signed Melo. They're 11-12. I mean, if you had something, if I told you, listen, and you're like, man, something really stinks. Like when I was a kid.
Something in the fridge and you're like, what the hell is that?
Yeah. Would you just keep rotten milk in your fridge? Just like, It still smells bad. I don't get it. Like, well, it's 100% the rotten milk. I mean, that milk is month and a half past expiration. 100%.
Yeah, but
let's just keep doing the same thing.
Let's just leave it in there.
When I was a kid named Lonnie, I can't remember his last name, but I didn't know this. I had a book satchel. It was an open satchel. It wasn't a backpack. It was a book satchel. And at some point on the bus when we were riding to school, I didn't know. Well, so the teachers, eventually, my locker started stinking, and it got even worse. And the principal or whoever, I had to come down to the office because my locker smelled so bad.
This is bad when the principal gets involved in your stinky locker.
I'm in fourth grade, and I get called down to the office. And it turns out that he tells me, did you know there was a dead crawfish? We open your locker, and there's a dead crawfish in there. And it smelled. Did you put that in there?
Did you have
no.
Did you have a gun or any weed in there?
No gun or weed, just dead crawfish that we had pulled out of the, we call them crayfish. You pulled them out of the ditch.
Did you accuse him of, hey, how about a little privacy? How about you're going through my locker? No, crawfish locker?
All I knew is I was in there, and I have no idea why my stuff smells so bad and why I've got crayfish in there.
Because Lonnie put it
in there. And Lonnie was in there and he was crying and admitted, I put it in there. I'm like, why did you do that? We're friends.
Well, that's what you do to friends.
I thought it would be funny.
Okay.
And the teacher's like, the principal's like, you don't do that to other people's personal property.
Well, so I got a dead crawfish story. It's kind
of
funny.
But you know what we did? We pulled it out of the freaking bag. Yeah. We didn't put it back in the locker, keep stinking it up like dead crawfish mellow.
Well, so my buddy one time got up on my other buddy's car, and he likes to take his pants down all the time. I don't know why, but he was sitting on the windshield. So my buddy, the windshield washer, it shoots up and it shot right up on his butt, And so to get him back, we're eating some crawfish, and he put all the crawfish.
How long ago was this?
This was like 3-4 years ago. And he put
up. You have a friend who takes his pants down and sits on cars 3 or 4 years ago?
And then, he shot water up there and then put the wipers on his. Anyway, so he stuck this bag of eaten crawfish underneath his seat. Well, a couple months later.
Underneath his seat where?
Underneath his driver's seat. And, yeah. Oh. So a couple of months later, his son is in the back seat said, Dad, did you fart? And he goes, no, what? No, I haven't. But yes, it stinks in here. Sure enough, he found the bag of crawfish that the dude who takes his pants off put underneath his seat.
Wow.
Yeah. So stinky crawfish.
Yeah, no, I had one. And it wasn't eaten. It was raw. It had died. So you can imagine how bad it was. It was dead crawfish. But those others will also. And obviously your boy got so used to the smell that he was just like. Yeah. Hey, something smells off, stinks. But I guess
he had to sell that car if you want to know the truth.
Oh no, there's no question.
7-Eleven, Jeff Van Gundy's gonna join us on the other side. We'll get some answers about that. How about they qualified for the World Cup it's pretty much a dream team. We'll talk to him about playing with a dream coach in a dream team next, right here on ESPN 97.5.
Get the latest and best content on where to go, what to do, where to eat, and where to drink. Go to culturemap.com. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance, along with Dell, being joined right now by the best analyst in any sport, Jeff Van Gundy, with us, and also an unbelievable coach. What he did to get USA basketball qualified for the World Cup with us here on ESPN 97.5. Coach, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good. It sounds right. John and Lance, again, I like it.
You like that?
Yeah, it sounds good. Sounds right.
It does. Yep. It's all good, Coach. We appreciate you. We appreciate you. So tell us about coaching this dream team that you had. Nothing to it. How many guys, Coach, did you have over these games to qualify? How many different players did you have?
Yeah, well, it started not this past summer, but the summer before. And so it's been like a 16-month process, and we actually have two more games, but thankfully they don't have mean for us to get qualified. So we've had, I think right now, nearly 50 different players that have played for us due to, you know, just the revolving nature of the minor leagues and, you know, just ever-changing plans and rosters and guys going overseas to play or getting maybe a call-up into the NBA or a two-way player, because we couldn't use anybody that was a two-way contract player or any NBA player, except for this past September we got to use a couple lightly used NBA players. So it's been interesting, and I've really grown in my respect for the G League player. That's been probably the best part of the experience, is getting to know these guys and having such respect for their grit and perseverance through incredible challenges and frustrations of their career, because they either want to get back into the NBA or they want to get into the NBA for the first time.
Well, you know, I guess you could look at a guy like Patrick Beverley, and why I don't know if he played in the G League. We know he played internationally. These are guys who there's no entitlement. If you're trying to get there from the G League, it's certainly not the easy way. And much like minor league baseball, I mean, that's the hard way up. Oh, no, go ahead, Coach. I think you were going to say something about G League.
No, I was just going to say that I think, you know, for fans of basketball, you don't really realize how good these guys are. Just because they're not in the NBA right now doesn't mean they couldn't be in the NBA. I think through my experiences with USA Basketball and my time coaching in the NBA, positions on teams from 11 to 15, they're highly interchangeable. And it goes to basic needs and maybe a guy that you like better than another guy, but there's very little separation. And so you think about it from these minor league player standpoint, they can honestly say they're just as good as a lot of players in the NBA, and yet the financial differences are so vast. You know, a G League player this year, they got their salary boosted up to $35,000 a year. I mean, it was at 24, I think. And so, you know, a minimum in the NBA or a two-way contract in the NBA, you're making a couple hundred thousand. And, you know, the drop from that to 35,000 and the drop in prestige is so great that I don't think people realize so much of finally making it is not being overwhelmed by frustration, disappointment, and where it sucks the joy out of the game for you.
Coach Jeff Van Gundy with us. He is a coach because he is with the USA World Cup qualifying team. So I read that you said some coaches, some teams, some agents, some G League organizations were very helpful, some not so much. Who are some of the more helpful that you dealt with in terms of helping you put together whatever you've had to put together in this revolving door of a team?
Well, in particular, the Rockets, Gerson Rojas, their assistant general manager, incredibly, incredibly helpful. Not only in identifying players that we should look at, but helpful in talking up the process to agents, to other teams. You know, the Miami Heat, Dan Craig was incredibly helpful, one of their assistants. But thankfully, we had a number of people that really looked out for us. Because as in any sport, you have to be able to put together a reasonable roster. It's hard enough when you're dealing with the fluidity of the G League and overseas and all that sort of stuff. To be able to put together a roster, if you didn't have the help of some of these people, some of these agents, some of these teams, you would have no chance to put together a roster that could qualify. Because, I don't think people realize, when you go on the road to Argentina, you go on the road to Uruguay, our players, in many cases, are facing, you know, full houses, 12, 11,000 people, really good teams, really good coaches. And these are the most significant games they've played since college in many cases. And it's different. And the level of physical play, it's like a different sport. I always say about the NBA and the G League, they have this term, freedom of movement. You know, and that's, I think it leads to some really good basketball. In FIBA basketball, it's freedom to get your teeth knocked out, because when you come across the lane, it's like 90s NBA basketball. Anything goes. And so, yeah, it's just different. And I have such respect for our guys. But, like, going back to what you guys were asking, if we couldn't count on help in putting together rosters from some of these other people, other NBA teams, G League teams, then, like, there's no chance of qualifying.
Jeff Van Gundy with us on ESPN 97.5. I think it's a load of crap. You did all the heavy lifting, and now Greg Popovich is going to take over and get all the credit, right?
No, listen, my one fear in this whole thing about not qualifying, you don't know him, but there's a guy who runs USA Basketball. He's not the head of USA Basketball, but he's in charge of our team. His name is Sean Ford. He's an unbelievable leader. So I've known him for a long time. So I wanted to make sure he got qualified. But can you imagine if you're me and Greg Popovich has been named national team coach, and it names a staff of Steve Kerr, Nate McMillan, and Jay Wright, and then they have no place to play the games because you didn't get your team qualified? Come on, man. I think he would have killed me. He would have used that, like, Russian background that he had, you know, in Russian intelligence or spy, and had me knocked off, and I wouldn't have blamed him.
That would have been hilarious. So he would have never, ever let you forget that.
No,
ever.
Think about that. Like, hey, I'm national team coach, but I've never gotten to coach a game because that knucklehead Van Gundy couldn't get us qualified. Yeah.
With his revolving door of players, does this scratch an itch for in terms of coaching, or was your daughter's the pack of rats or whatever, the crazy gnawing rats,
man. Yeah. So, you know, I've never lost the itch to coach. It's not been that at all. Like, I miss coaching. I always try to say, like, I miss, you know, the competition and the camaraderie of a team very much. And so I'm actually just very thankful to get to do this. I've learned so much through this whole process. I know as much about Nicolas Laprofatola, the point guard from Argentina, as I do NBA point guards now. Like, you know, you learn how good so many of these guys are. And, you know, it's been a fascinating experience. You guys would appreciate this. So we're in Argentina, right? And we're in this little town, and we're going to play in this big, beautiful arena that they pack, right? And we're going to shoot around, and we can't go because protesters block our bus in, you know, and they weren't protesting us. I'm not really sure what they were protesting, if it was the G20 summit or the, you know, certain things in their town. But it was just like, you're sitting there and you're thinking, man, this is unbelievable experience. Here we're getting ready to play a game, and we can't go practice because these people are upset. And it was very cool. I mean, the whole experience has been, like, so eye-opening. I'm just grateful to have been a part of it.
Either that or it was their fans just, you know, saying all that crap and just keeping you guys from practicing so that they would win.
Well, listen, I don't think so, because most of the protesters, I would say, were middle-aged women, and I don't think they were with our quest to be to qualify for the World Cup.
Let me ask you this. We brought up the crazed, gnawing rats. Your older daughter, you used to go to the Texans with your older daughter. Are you still going? But this has taken up your time. What about your Texans winning 9 straight now?
Oh, no. Listen, of course we still go. Section 110. Row N, seats 15 and 16. Now, my biggest complaint during this time was I missed the last two home games because of our travel. So we left out of the country the Sunday before the Monday night game, and then I missed Baker Mayfield, 3-pick fiasco on Sunday. But here's my crazy daughter. So she's there at both of them taking other people, and she's texting me because she went to Georgia. So we were at the Rose Bowl last year when Georgia came back to beat Baker Mayfield. And so no one dislikes Baker Mayfield more than this girl. And so she was like giving me these glorious updates about interceptions in the first half. And yeah, we're diehards. And think about what they've done. I mean, I know it's a record, but it's like they lose the first three. The Colts make a decision, whether you think it was right or wrong. It gives them a chance to win that first one. And from there, they've had so many close games and that they've figured out. And now, don't you guys think if they win this week, it'll be over?
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It is over. And, you know,
if they win this week,
yeah,
it's
I think
over?
They win the division.
Yeah. Tennessee can still tie them, but I don't know what the tiebreakers are.
Yeah, we'd have to see tiebreakers. Yeah. But, you know, John and I talked about this during during the Astros this year, and we referred to last year. You know, in baseball, 100, you have 162. There are all these mini seasons that take place where your third season, quote-unquote third season, and it happens in different phases, could be completely unrelated to where you were to start the season. And I know it happens in basketball in 82, but I mean, I think obviously it happens in football too, because if you ask Bill O'Brien what was going on in the first four or five games is probably substantially different in certain phases than the last three or four games, I would imagine.
Right. Well, you think about what he always says too. It's a league of progress, right? And I've used that now with my teams, and I think it's what goes to every sport. It is a league of progress. It's every league is a league of progress, a league of improvement. And if you can't make improvement at a quicker rate than your opponents, then you're going to struggle as the season progresses. It's those teams that can, you know, and health has a part in that as well, but you have to be able to improve throughout the course of a season to have a chance. And I think, you know, their level of improvement, they're figuring out how to win close games. It's just been inspiring. And now, you know, I mean, the thing about when you win a lot, you can never be content. And that's the hard thing to convince athletes, that this thought of progress and improvement never can stop. It's got to just keep going throughout the course of the season.
All right, quickly, we know you got to go. The Texans' first quarter was 1-3. They were 1-3 in their. It seems like the Rockets is the same. Where they are in the standings, where they are relative to the Western Conference, what this team is doing right now, what's going on with this basketball team?
Well, I thought last night was a little confounding. I thought they played an excellent first half, and then, you know, as Mike D'Antoni said afterwards, they didn't have that same energy in the second half. I mean, who would think a Rocket team would score 9 points in a fourth quarter? I think what it was in the second half, 29 or 30? I'm not sure exactly. But, you know, I still think they're a very good team. I do think, just like Philly last year, I think they'll be on the lookout for the bought-out players. I think they need to add more depth, more quality players. I think they're not as deep this year. You know, think about Philly last year. They were 25-25, and then they got Ilyasova and Bellinelli in the buyout market, and then they went, and I think they went 27-5 the rest of the way. I think the Rockets are going to be poised to have to do the same thing, is find a couple pieces to bolster their quality of depth. And then if they can do that and Paul and Harden are healthy, they'll have a chance against anybody.
Yeah, and that's going to be the tricky part, because it did this team in 3 years, they've become a much slower paced team. They've really aged, and they play like an aged team so far this year. And I think it's going to be getting the easy baskets while they defend better. Clearly, over the last couple of years, they just don't. Right now, they're just not getting the easy scores, and they're more open to pratfalls that really can end their game. Where it used to be they could make up for a bad stretch, they just are not explosive enough right now to consistently make up. Or, you know, offensively or defensively, when they do score, they're struggling to get stops. So they just haven't put both sides together yet.
I also think the mental thing is a huge part. Like, I remember when we lost to the Rockets when I was with the Knicks in 94. The next year, we started with a very good team. We started, I think, 12-12. And the mental, you know, hangover from a disappointing end when you were so close. Like, I still don't think people realize the Rockets weren't one half away from getting to the NBA Finals. The Rockets were one half away from winning an NBA championship. And they would have wiped out Cleveland in the finals, just like Golden State did. And I think dealing with that disappointment subconsciously is very draining. To re-energize, to refocus, to find your way through the disappointment. And I think subconsciously it can sap your energy. And so I think what you'll see is I think the Rockets with Daryl and Gerson, they're going to add people. And then I think you're going to see an increase in energy as the season goes on. Because if they don't, they're going to get left behind in the Western Conference. I can't foresee them not qualifying, but they could easily not have home court advantage. And so I think you're going to see vast improvement as this month goes on and as the calendar year turns.
You know, essentially, I thought the Saints might have that same when Marcus Williams had that disastrous play that let the Vikings win. I thought that might be a deflator that could leak into this year, and instead, they just upped their game
Coach, I never get that energy thing. It's 82 games. You're making your unbelievable life.
I'm not making excuses because you're right. Like, there shouldn't be that. There shouldn't be that. But the fact and the reality is it's not any one individual. It's more a team collective, like, malaise that you have to work your way through. And I think injuries had a huge impact on the start of the Rocket season. Paul being out, Harden missing a couple. And they don't have the same depth. I mean, that's just a fact. And they're going to have to work towards getting better quality players, more quality players. And I think, you've seen Daryl do that in his whole time in Houston. I don't think that'll be a problem by the end of the season.
No. Trader Daryl will do something. We know that. Hey, we'll let you go. We know you got to bring your daughter to school. Thanks so much for hanging with us. Congratulations on qualifying, Coach.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
All right. There's Jeff Van Gundy right here on ESPN 97.5. What a great interview. Like I said, I don't think there's anybody. It's not even close as to who's the best analyst in any sport. Better listen to Jeff Van Gundy than any other guy. 734 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here on ESPN 97.5. Time for me to talk about hoops. Well, okay, were we just talking about hoops? Yeah. Were we talking about the Rockets? Were we talking about FIBA basketball? All of these things. If you want your kid to be any good, how about starting them young? When they're 3, 4, 5, 6 years old, 7, 8, 9. I mean, maybe when they're 10, they can get the ball up to the basket, I guess. Yeah, in that neighborhood. But how about having fun all this time, lowering the basket? If you staple that white backboard with the bent rim and no net to your garage, guess what? The kids will never play, never have fun, never get any better. Get a hoops goal. The goal lowers so that the kids can actually play. And then they can work on their dunks and feel like they're, running up and down the floor and dunking like Clint Capella. And when, they're really not all that good. But it's okay. They're having fun. And that's exactly what it's for the kids to have fun. And that's what Keith Tate does. ProDunkHoops.com. It's the best goal you'll ever have. He's got all the accessories as well. ProDunkHoops.com. Tell Keith Tate you heard it right here.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, short segment here. Always great to have Jeff Hank. What an interview. Love the coach. So that's good stuff right here on ESPN 97.5. Rockets lose bet last night, and it's inexplicable what's going on with that basketball team. We talk about this. maybe picking up the pace. I don't know. Maybe trying to play faster because they're, I think, second. Well, just last week, they were second slowest team in the NBA, which is so unusual. Now, they did. It was a misconception that they played fast. The second half of last year, I think they were one of the slowest teams in the NBA. The difference was is that, I don't know, they just made more shots. Maybe it's just as simple as make more shots.
Much better. Yes. Chris Paul was a bigger factor. Like, yeah, there were, and they got defensive stops when they needed to. You know, they could have, if they could have gotten stops, you're probably looking at, maybe three more wins. You could maybe find three more wins. You can always, I'm saying realistically, but that's not where they are. And so now they are in a situation where they're, how many losses did they have all of last year?
65 and 17.
Yeah, 17 losses. They're five away.
Already.
They're five away. By Christmas, there is a decent chance they could be at the loss total for the whole year. So it's just a different team. Every year is different. What happened last year? This is really, you know, this is just so my worry is that Chris Paul isn't going to be healthy. He's all right off the bat, has issues. He's got years of showing you, multiple years now, three straight years, four straight years of not being able to stay on the court as much as you'd like. So you know that's probably going to be the case. He's at a stage of his career where it usually doesn't get better. It usually gets worse. You can't not sign him. You got to have him. You'd love to do a two-year deal, I would think. No player is going to take a two-year deal. Three, you think, okay, well, three would be okay. No.
No.
No, it's going to take four, and it's going to take a max dollar deal. So now you're boat anchored with the contract of an older player who is you know, prone to soft tissue injury. You had to have him because he gives leadership. He gives a balance to when James gets a little flighty, and he is a guy who can take over games. I mean, he still shows that. So you were kind of stuck. It's just like in, you know, it's like being in football where you have a quarterback like Matt Schaub at one point where, you know, like, man, he's good enough to win some games, but you know he's not good enough to get the, you know, he's not quite where you just don't want to be in certain situations. Mm-hmm. There are certain situations, and the Rockets really didn't have it. What, you're going to let Chris Paul walk? You might as well be hitting reset on a team that was this close to winning an NBA championship. So you can't let him walk. You don't want to completely give in. Luckily, you didn't give completely in on Clint Capella's deal. So, you know, you still have Clint Capella at a relatively friendly team-friendly deal, but you didn't really have any, there was nothing you could do. You had to re-up Chris Paul, and you knew what was going to happen. You got away from Carmelo as quickly as you can, that's fine. But now I just feel like they're older, they're slower, they don't, there is no juice off the bench because Eric Gordon's not bringing
it. This reminds me a lot of the Steven Coutinho teams.
Oh.
No, honestly.
Yeah, but that team had no, like,
but it's
James,
the same style of offense.
A quick question.
It's the same crappy offense that's boring, isolation, standing. Now, and you know, granted, the better, it's a much better, much better players. Much James Harden, and they'll get it together when Chris Paul and James Harden, and you know what? And like Coach said, get some depth. I truly believe Daryl Morey is not going to sit on his hands. But quite frankly, his offseason, you know what? If you're going to be blunt and honest about it, Daryl's offseason sucked. Carmelo Anthony, Michael Carter Williams, are you kidding me?
Yeah, Chris, you knew had to happen. But Carmelo was for dirt cheap. Michael Carter Williams was
dirt cheap
for
what?
Nothing.
Dirt cheap what? You get what you pay for.
Right.
They're terrible.
Right. But he has, your money's limited. You had to re-sign Capella and Chris Paul. And then Chris Paul was pushing, he and James were pushing for Clint Capella.
But they are exactly not what this basketball team was about last year.
No, right.
Playing some defense and hitting some threes. That's what you wanted. Those guys are the exact opposite.
Oh, no, I didn't
They're
like
the
it.
Exact opposite
no,
of what
wanted
you wanted.
Carmelo here. That was an obvious bad signing. He was clearly not going to bring
anything. I'm not saying
anything.
You. I'm saying this is right. Really on Daryl Morey.
Right.
This is really, he had his crappiest offseason.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think,
but he's not done. You know he is.
No, I know he's not. But look at this start.
But your core now is untradeable because one of your core pieces you cannot trade.
I get it.
Chris Paul. So now you're locked into Chris Paul's health. If Chris Paul's not healthy, you're screwed. And when's Chris Paul been healthy a whole season?
No.
5 years ago?
No. And well, that's another that's another move that Daryl made this offseason.
That was one he had to make.
Well, obviously, you had to keep Chris Paul because of what you did last year. But you know, signing him to a $160 million 4-year deal,
we
all know what that's going to bring.
I know. It was an inevitability.
That's right. All right, we got to catch up. Champion Energy is what we're talking. Being a champion. Let's go. 1560energy.com, 1560energy.com. If you're looking for the best way to get to the bottom line, and you say, well, they got nights and weekends, and they're going to give me free electricity for like 7 years. No, they're not. And oh, by the way, they're going to find a way. They'll give you free electricity, and then they'll fee you to death, and you're still going to pay more than you do at Champion Energy, okay? So that's what's happening every single day. They find different ways to get you in, and then the bottom line is the bottom line. Where are you spending less money? And you're going to be spending less money at Champion Energy, getting the best in service as well, keeping the money right here in Houston. They're right there on the Hardy Toll Road. Greens Road, I think it is, whatever it is. Anyway, if you're looking for the best electricity in this city, 1560energy.com, that's 1560energy.com.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
Hey guys, want to tell you about Man's Tea Clinic. They are 4 in Houston. Where are you? Are you near Pasadena or Pearland or Cypress, the Heights? I don't know. I mean, I'm closest to the Heights location, and that's why I go to the Heights location. I stop in there. Usually, I like to do it after the show. Sometimes, I'll go on a Saturday. It just depends on whatever's most convenient for me because I know that they're going to be able to get me in and get me out fairly quickly, and some days extremely quickly. They understand that your time is very, very valuable. Even when you're getting tested for your testosterone levels to find out if you're low in testosterone, the process takes you just, you know, a relatively short time. You got to fill out your paperwork. But once you do that, they get you tested and then they will let you leave if you want. And they'll call you with the results within a few minutes and they'll tell you exactly where you are. Now, if your testosterone level is low, you can fret about it, but I'd be happy because that gives you an answer as to why you don't have the energy or the desire or the drive that you once had, why your lean muscle mass has dropped off so badly. Let my friends over at Men's T Clinic get you back to being the real you, get you the energy level back, the drive. Your workouts will matter more. It's mensteaclinic.com, 4 locations here in the Houston area, mensteaclinic.com.
Yo, I go by the name of Dane Jones.
Don't listen to these kids. This will really burn your throat.
And we gonna show y'all what we be.
You can't eat these too late at night, guys. I'm serious.
Hot Cheetos and Takis. Hot Cheetos and Takis.
Very spicy.
So I played with Crash yesterday. Ricky Harmon, yeah. Dick's son.
Yep.
Had a great group. Jonathan and Todd Greenwood and young guy Ed Mitchell, who's just graduated Rice, and he's going to try to go pro.
Reflux issue.
And Ricky was telling me he was listening to your talkie story yesterday, and he goes, he's the one that sent me the text. I wake up Saturday morning. My wife and I went out the night before, and there's the kids sitting there watching cartoons, all eating Takis. They all got their own bag of Takis, eating Takis for breakfast.
What?
Yeah,
kids.
And so he just
kids do it. I don't understand. Kids will tell you everything's too spicy. Hey, super spicy, super spicy. Because there's a little bit of salt and pepper on a chicken at super spicy.
No, right.
And then they're wolfing down Takis.
No, and he said so that their Takis are banned. Takis are banned in his house because
you see what they did to little Dell. What happened to little
what
Zan?
Happened?
What happened to little Zan when he had Takis?
By the way, he's a grown man.
Didn't he have kidney problems? No, there was a woman. Who was it? She had.
That's little Zan. It's not a woman.
No. There was a woman.
Oh,
there was a woman that claimed that she like lost her kidneys because of
little Zan.
No, that's not little Zan. It's not a woman.
Well,
I don't know how he identifies. I'm not gonna make that.
Yeah, you as a cisgender male should stop imposing your views on others.
What are you talking about? He identifies as a terrible mumble rapper.
That's your opinion.
What am I?
Play some.
What am I going to be? What do I do? It's interpret. John versus- I'm interpreting rap
sure?
today.
I'm asking you. Are you sure that's not? There's Lil Xan. Are you sure that's not?
I'm not going to assume what Lil Xan.
You're not sure, are you?
Assumes sex. Sex. He.
You're
assumes.
Not sure anything other than he's sure weak as dog turds.
Yeah. I'm not assured of anything.
That's aggressive.
What am I interpreting today, though?
Well, we've played this song before. I don't know what he's doing right now. We've played this song before, but on the show. But we're going to John's going to in John versus Genius at 10 a.m. He's going to break down Rich the Kid's Plug Walk.
And so I will interpret the lyrics.
No, you won't interpret. Well, I guess it's your interpretation of his lyrics. And then you will. Yeah. And then you will.
I'll probably be dead on, and Genius will be
wrong.
Stupid.
I guess.
So and Genius is misnamed, if you want to know the truth.
Well, because why? You think because, better than Genius?
Because I should be, and that'll and
Genius
and that
website
is
going, just call it Genius in the website.
I don't think people really care so much about your interpretation of the lyrics, or at least your breakdown of lyrics. They care about you reciting the lyrics. I think they find that most entertaining.
Is that right?
Yes.
That's a good part of it.
So well, we're going. So you're going to be responsible for interpreting Rich the Kid's Plug Walk at 10 a.m.
Isn't it? Aren't they country, Rich the Kid?
No, that's Big and Rich. That's a different thing completely.
That's not bad, though.
I thought that was bad,
yeah.
Oh, Big and Rich.
Big and Rich are different.
But it's
well, what's his name? Hootie. He went from rap to country,
no,
right?
No, he didn't. He went from rock to whatever he does now.
Same thing.
Hootie, no, it's not.
Rap to country. It's kind of the same
Hootie thing. Did not go from rap to country.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he is country now, though. He's on the CMTs.
That's my favorite country song, though, that his...
Which one?
The... I can't remember.
But, yeah, it's your favorite. You can't remember.
But it's my. But it is my favorite country.
What about the one with Florida Georgia Line? Aren't they great?
I don't
great?
Know
about
that. Aren't I don't, they know. Just I don't know nothing about them. What about Derek? Let's get him in here. Must talk Texans. I'm here on ESPN 97.5. What do you say, Derek?
Hey, what's going on?
How you doing? Much?
I'm good. Hey, is there a line?
Yeah.
I missed your take on the Texans the other day. I had to get out the car and do something. And you was... You were speaking term. You were speaking fact, and I didn't get a chance to hear it. So I don't know what side of the ball you on.
In terms of what
with this team right now, as in terms of how far they can go into the playoffs. You were spitting about how far they go in the playoffs. What they could do, just your basic around the mill stuff. You were speaking, and I didn't get a chance to hear it. I don't get a chance to listen to you like I would like to, but I know that you got a take on them, and I haven't heard it.
Yeah. So. Basically, I think this team right now there's obviously for me and less so for John, there's a hindrance between them and Kansas City. I don't see them being able to score Kansas City. I do think when you look at the AFC, it's not a very tough. I don't think the Patriots are the same team they've been in the past. Of course, it's tied directly to Rob Gronkowski to me. I mean, if he's healthy, they can be a good team. If he's not, they're much more pedestrian, but they're clearly better than everyone in their division. I don't know that they're better than the Chargers, but the Chargers got a little help here. They almost lost two straight. They're clearly – I think the Chargers are a dangerous team relative to where the Texans are and probably could be more consistent. I think they're about even with the – you know, before I would have said the Chargers are better than the Texans, John, I think right now the Texans are about even with the Chargers, and I wouldn't have said that before. And I don't think – I think you have to historically put the Patriots ahead of the Texans. I think the Texans have never proven they can beat the Patriots.
I don't. I don't think that the Patriots are any better than the Texans. I really don't. I with my human eyes, I don't think – watching them. And especially if Gronk is gimpy or whatever, they're not the same team.
Real world-wise, in terms of the real world, I do like – I think the Texans, the Chargers, and the Steelers are about the same. They're about in the same kind of group. But I wouldn't have said that maybe 2 weeks ago. I don't think I would have said that. I would have said, Texans are probably about fifth or sixth. Now, I mean, especially their back-to-back wins.
I'll be interested to see the Steelers-Patriots game. If the Steelers can take care of that business, the Texans are getting a bye.
And there's definitely a chance.
I'm telling you, I think the Texans are our bye team, not the Patriots.
Is that in New England? Well, you know, now from a bye standpoint, ESPN's
probability list was they were in the 70% range. Texans were in the 25% range.
All right, we got to go because we got Bill Hancock. We'll talk about the playoff here next.
Football, Derek. Appreciate it.
Right here on ESPN 97.5. In the meantime, I want to talk about Mark Klein and Klein's Jewelry. KleinsJewelry.com. KleinsJewelry.com. Mark is unbelievable. It's the holiday season, so obviously you're thinking about Christmas. We're going to have our Christmas party there and then move on to Nick's place on the 21st. Mark is getting ready for it. He's got everything. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be unbelievable. But here's the deal. Well, he's going to have all kinds of custom jewelry in stock and ready. But you, if you've been with your wife a little while, you have some kind of an idea of her taste, her jewelry taste. If not, maybe some way slyly, if she's ever said, hey, look at this. This is great, whatever. But whatever price that it is for that expensive piece of jewelry, you're going to spend less at Klein's because he will customize it. He will make it for you. And so when you're getting it direct, and that's exactly what he does. He's got the elves in the back and they're all working on all of this jewelry and making it. And he can make it for a better price than you're going to buy at one of these expensive jewelry stores, period. Period. And he's got, I mean, I'm telling you, the selection is unbelievable with name brands. And yet he can make all that stuff and do it at a better price. If you're looking for that piece of jewelry, 832-316-1388. He's at 5868 Westheimer, Fountain View in Westheimer. Easy to get to. He's there now all day long. It's the holiday season. He's ready for you to get there. And then you pick up the jewelry on December 21st. 832-316-1388. It's KleinsJewelry.com.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.